Hello and welcome to Matrix Live. My guest today is Mathieu, not Matthew. Mathieu is one of the maintainers of CHAP. He's working for Denham. He's here to talk about CHAP, the public sector in France and maybe beyond, Hack Days and other Matrix projects the public sector is working on. Mathieu, welcome.
Hello, happy to be there. Thank you for
I don't think it's
me.
Your first Matrix Live. We've had you previously.
I think I had one, but I don't even remember the subject,
it was to talk about fast joints in Synapse.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, it's a long time ago.
It was a long time, yeah. All right, so DINUM, it stands for Inter-Ministry Digital Services, but in French, hence the letters not meaning many things. DINUM answers to the Prime Minister and operates several services, including CHAP, a Matrix product. CHAP is based on Synapse and Element, but it's not just a rebranding, is it?
So, yeah, it goes a bit further than that. It's mainly, it's some. So we have a private federation, so we are not open to the other server yet. That's a subject that we are working on, but that's for later. So currently we are not. And so we added and removed, actually, also some stuff. So it's easier to deal with the federation for, let's say, normies. So it's mainly around authentication, user directories, this kind of stuff, where it can be a bit clunky to find people on the public federation right now. So we are tooling that a bit. Also, for example, we want to be able to register by email, this kind of stuff. So we have some specificity regarding that. Plus, for example, hiding the Matrix IDs and instead having a display name with the name of the not company, but the structure, the public structure you are working with on inside your display name, this kind of small customization. That's mainly it regarding when we do on the customization side.
All right, so CHAP is aimed for public servants, people in the public sector in France, so you can make hypotheses or you can take decisions based on that context. That is quite different from using Matrix in the public federation like you would with a regular element. So you said the word, the very dangerous word, customization. Are you using a vanilla upstream Synapse under the hood, or do you have downstream patches?
So, for a long time, we used a forked Synapse with a bunch of customization inside. And I think 2 or 3 years ago, a big task was launched with Elements, so we could, that was called mainlining, which is put hooks inside Synapse where we need them. So mainly Synapse modules hooks, so that all of our customization could be done through modules instead of having a soft fork of Synapse. So it was quite a success. I think it's in production since a bit more than 2 years now, or a bit less than 2 years, but something like that. So on Synapse side, we are purely upstream plus module now. And for the apps, we have soft forks currently based on the legacy apps. So yeah, for the customization, it's the same as what I said earlier. It's mainly some UX to facilitate life regarding that. Ah, also, one stuff I forgot is that we also simplified the type of room that you can create. So instead of having you can create a room and then customize a lot of stuff inside, we have 3 or 4 predefined rooms that are presented to the user when they create a room.
All right. So when you say you are using modules for Synapse, just to be entirely clear, those are the upstream supported way of extending Synapse without having to fork it. So it's a sort of flexibility.
Yeah.
That
Synapse exactly. Has. So you write some Python code and it can plug to some hooks inside the code of Synapse and can do various stuff.
And as for the clients, so when you say you have a soft fork, this is probably what I would call a branch. Whenever there are new releases of elements, you are just bringing your patches along, like rebasing everything you are doing on top of what has been released. You said, so I think you mentioned element legacy, what is also sometimes called element classic. So those are the mobile apps. Why are you using Element Classic and not Element X?
Well, we don't yet, but we've been working on it since, I think, since 6 months now. A bit more even, I think, because first we had the problem that we needed the sliding sync on the Synapse server. So we worked with Element on that so we can... we didn't want to have an intermediate proxy because of basically operational overhead of it mainly.
Just to remember for people who might not be familiar with the problem, so element sync is what you see, the long spinner you could see historically when opening your client for the first time. And the solution for that was to implement sliding sync. And in order not to slow down the development of Synapse and to have some room to iterate quickly on the protocol, the team decided to write on a sliding sync proxy on top of Synapse. And what you are saying is that you wanted that to be merged into Synapse before you could deploy it.
Yeah, basically. Right. For the backend, that was mainly it. We feel that it was more useful for us to put money on the software itself to have it inside Synapse. That to put the money on the ops part that we will have to deal with it forever or forever like, let's say. And so we did it. So once this one is on the rails, we began working on the apps. So the apps and the Rust SDK, since they are based on it, the Matrix Rust SDK. So for now, we have same principles of soft forks of the SDK and the app. For the SDK, we are trying to upstream everything that we can. I mean, on the principle, we are trying to upstream everything that we can. Can being, if it makes sense to do it upstream, because everything is open source, so everything is available on the GitHub of the project. So can is not I can legally. It's more it makes sense to have it upstream and not in our fork. What can I say in else? Not much.
All right. So you have a good point here, in the sense that what Dynam is doing. So first, thank you for doing the work to merge the so for sponsoring the work to merge sliding sync into Synapse. That was a very welcome sponsored work. As somebody who self-hosts Synapse, I like self-hosting Synapse and not having to rely on the sliding sync proxy as well. And the other thing you mentioned is that you have a soft fork of the SDK and you only upstream what makes sense. And when you say that, you mean what makes sense for upstream. There is somebody who says that features in open source are like puppies. You can adopt one, but once you adopt one, you need to take care of it. So it makes sense for upstream not to accept every changes and only accept changes that make sense that the project actually wants to carry and to take care of the maintenance for in the future. So I really like that approach. You said everything was open source. In terms of what you are doing. So I guess that already answers the question I'm going to ask you. What do you think of the relicensing that happened from Apache 2.0 to AGP LV3?
Yes, so first, just to iterate a bit on the fact that it's open source. So we are a big proponent of the fact that public money should finance public code. And basically, I think it's even by law, stuff that are done by the public servant are supposed to be open source. So I guess I'm pretty sure there is a way to avoid that, especially if there is something that should be secret or something like that. But that's not the case here at all. So everything is open source. And of course, for us, the lesser licensing was hence not really an issue at all. I mean, and then I'm going to give my personal opinion here. so it didn't impact CHAP at all. And on my side, I think it's a pretty good move to move to AGPL. If it brings some monies to finance the open source side of Matrix, I'm happy, quite happy with that. There is a CLA, and sometimes people are complaining about that and all. But here I find it to be quite balanced in the sense that there is a provision that says that you can't relicense it to only into something that is not approved by the OSI, I think.
I believe, yeah, I don't remember what element CLA says exactly, but I think basically it says that Synapse is always going to be released under a OSI approved license. I don't think it's AGPL v3 specifically, but at least an OSI approved license.
Exactly. But that would exclude some stuff, like I think I don't remember the name of it, but the one that said that it becomes really open source 3 years after this kind of stuff, and so it's a bit more okay with the spirit of open source. So I think it's a good move on my side.
All right. And beyond Synapse and Element and that sort of projects, are you working on Matrix projects that are not based on Synapse or Element?
So, yes, we have a few stuff at home. so the one that we opened recent one, we didn't publicize it yet. We will at some point. I mean, advertise, sorry. it's a French word. Matrix bot admin. So it's basically a bot that allows to call the admin of API of Synapse underneath. So let's say, for example, that you want to deactivate a user, you would write deactivate Matrix ID of the user inside your management room, and it will do that for you. Of course, it's a bit more complex than that because, for example, we want a bit of HTTP, so HTTP version, so a person can't just come here and impersonate a user. It needs to have the form at least to get of the person to get the token. So it's a lot more harder to do than stealing a password of somewhere. And what else can I say about it? It's so open source since a couple of months. Not everything at all is implemented in the admin API. However, we are completely happy with taking contribution if you need something specific. We are working right now on the migration to the Matrix authentication service. So at some point we will plug also what we need regarding this inside this bot. So regarding what we do outside of Element and Synapse, there is also right now the Matrix authentication service itself. Since we are working on deploying it in the near future and we have adaptation to do. So same principle as with everything else. A lot of stuff makes sense to put it upstream. So we do. And also some small parts either doesn't make sense or are not ready. I mean, sometimes we just do temporary stuff until we think about, oh, it makes sense to put it upstream or which hooks need to be put upstream, this kind of stuff. So that's the second one, and the last one, that same, we didn't advertise it at all because for now it's a prototype, but they were quite some work by a member of our team on the Tori version of Element Desktop. So I think you're going to heard about it a bit more in the next couple or months or something like that, but it's quite advanced now.
Can you tell us briefly what Tori is and what is the difference with a regular Element?
So Tori is a bit like Electron in the sense that it allows you to wrap a web app into a desktop layer. have some stuff for free, like notifications, a secure storage. What else? Oh, yeah, in Element Desktop right now, the main feature is the search in encrypted room that is going through a native binary, so it needs a bit of support. And so instead of doing the Electron way, which is basically take the web engine of Chrome and bundle it inside your app, it use the web renderer, the web engine of your system. So the big plus here is that you don't have to update your app each time there is a CVE in the web engine, which happens a lot. Like probably, I don't know exactly, but last time I looked, it was several times a month that there were a CVE on the upstream Chromium project. And if you don't follow, or if the downstream user of you are late, because we also have downstream users that are taking what we do and repackaging to deploy it on some specific ministry or else, and if they are late too, they have the CVE around and it's not great. So Tori, mainly for us at least, mainly solves this issue, which is we really don't want to update every week our desktop app to deal with CVE of web engines.
All right. So the upside is that you are guaranteed to only have a single engine to take care of. As some security officer, you only have to track what's happening in the engine you are deploying on your fleet, and you don't have to track every app. But the trade-off, I guess, is that as a developer, sometimes you can get bug reports, because if you are using the native engine of your user, maybe they are using something slightly different than you, and they're going to see layout shifts or that sort of thing. Is this correct?
Yeah, correct. Usually the web developer are supposed to take into account the main, at least the main player in the field. So it's not supposed to be a problem, but it can be a problem.
All right. We've been talking about collaboration a lot so far. Are you collaborating with other entities from the public sector to work on CHAP, whether it is in France or abroad?
So, yes, we are. So in France, until recently, not that much. But since a year or so, we are in talks with some public servants that are not directly under our ministries. So that would be, for example, hospital, for example, or just a town, yeah. A big town or region or whatever. They are not directly under the states. They are kind of independent. So we are planning to at some point perhaps plug with them so they can talk to the CHAP deployment. And also we are consulting a bit with them regarding how to deploy and best practice, what we did, what worked, what didn't work, this kind of stuff. So that's for France right now. And for a more international context, we have quite some talks at the European level mainly. So that would be, for example, Germany, or I think the Luxembourg has a deployment. The Netherlands doesn't have one yet, but is working on it. And so we are talking with them too. And the collaboration is a bit broader than that because we have something in France that have quite some advertising recently in Acre News, which is La Suite Numérique with some component like Docs. And it appears that it interests a bit more people than us. And so we are also working with Germany at least, and a bit the Netherlands on those. What can I say else? Yeah, and for Matrix and CHAP, the goal at the end would also be to be able to talk to them. That would be awesome. I know also that NATO has a deployment, so it's kind of huge, begin to be a bit big in Europe now, especially with the international context, which is quite shifting right now regarding sovereignty. So we hope that it will that Matrix will take over Europe soon.
So when you say you want to talk to them, so when you say you want to talk to Germany and the Netherlands, you mean you want to have a federation with them, like a private federation with them?
I don't like to call it private in the end, because if we end up opening to a lot of other parties, it's not private anymore. It will be controlled. Controlled in the sense that we can't just open to everybody. We have security constraints that will not work there. The mainly problem being impersonation. Basically, we plan to plug only with servers that have identities that we can relate to and that are identifiable and this kind of stuff, because we don't have other means right now to deal with that.
All right. And for that to happen, you need everybody to speak upstream matrix and not to have a downstream fork, which is the whole point of using matrix in the first place.
Yes, indeed.
When preparing the episode, you told me about hack days. Can you tell me a bit more about that? What is it? Why are you organizing it? And will you work on CHAP during the event?
Right, so it's between the 2 and the 4th of June in Paris, in the ENS, École Nationale Supérieure, je crois. And so as part of Genium commitment to digital commons and open source, we are organizing this hackathon. So it's to work and design, to work around collaborative and sovereign digital tools. So it includes Matrix, it includes Docs, it includes also Meet, which is some kind of visio technologies based on LiveKit. So we will work on CHAP. CHAP itself, not much, but related subject that we are interesting in and that are matrix subject actually, yes, we will. So for now, I have identified 4 subjects that would be interested. Of course, that's just me identifying stuff, but I'm not the one that will decide on what we work. That's the teams that will be there. So the point that where we are interesting, and I think it will also quite benefit upstream, would be about the encrypted search to put it in the app. All the bricks are already there to do it, so we just need to play some Lego basically, at least for the basics. Since the indexer that is called CSChat that's allowed to index encrypted room is right in Rust, so it should be fairly easy to plug that with the SDK to have the search there, and then we will be able to plug it on the app. So that's one subject that I am planning to propose. Another one would be how to say preview, URL previews. Right now, it's quite not great because to do a preview, you basically give the URL to your server and it gives you back a preview, which means that it leaks the URL to the server, even if you are in an encrypted room, which is not great. So there is a MSC around that's allowed to bundle the preview inside the event. So the client will fetch the preview and it would embed this preview inside the event. So right now it's MFC, so that is not implemented in the clients, and we think it's an interesting subject. It's not too big. The spec is simple. So I think it's something that we can probably hack in 2 days. So that's why we put it there. So that's mainly for the client side and for the server side. So there is one that we wrote MSC about user directory search, basically. No, user search, federated user directory, we called it. But it's to be able to search in the federation for users. Right now, it doesn't really exist. You can search in the users that your home server have seen, basically, but you can't search on everything. So the goal here is to broadcast search a bit like how it's done in the usual Emule at the time, where you basically broadcast the search and gather the answers of everybody. So that would be something like that. So we put MSC on that 2 or 3 months ago. We didn't have much time yet to work on the implementation, so perhaps we can. Another one that I put there, it's more one of my, let's say, my lubies. How do you say luby?
I would say what you fancy at the moment.
Yeah, that's one of my fancy stuff that I would like to see, which is being able to pick over federation. So being able to see a room that doesn't exist yet on your servers. I mean, exist, or at least there is no users of your server that has yet joined the room. So it's not resident in your server. If you want to see it, you need to at least ask someone to give it the use, the events, this kind of stuff. Right now, it doesn't work. I have a prototype that I did by myself for fun, and it's half done. So it's missing the other half. The complicated part, because that was the interesting part for me. So this part is done, and there is a bit of work to finish it. And so why not?
And voilà. To do the plumbing.
Exactly, it's a plumbing. To be fair, I was just I lack of time, and so there is a plumbing left to do.
All right, so if people are interested in working on Matrix with a team of people who know what they are working on and who know the topic of Matrix, they should join you at the Hack Days in Paris during June 2 to 4.
Yes, and I mean, you don't need to know the subject, honestly. Honestly, the subject that I said are not too big and not too complicated. So, I will be, even if I'm not sure I will work on the subject, because I would like to work on something else than Matrix for once, but I will clearly be around and be the one to presenting stuff so other people can work on it. So you will get help from me and from colleagues and from other people of Matrix community that are around on that. And even if you don't know the subject, I hope that you will be able to help. And there is another subject that I forgot to mention. So that's more a community subject. It's around making Cisco hardware work with video conferencing. So there is something like that with Element Call. And if we can go further with that, I think it's an interesting topic because we have hardware everywhere in the state also for video conferencing. I'm pretty sure they are not all Cisco, but I'm pretty sure also that we have a bunch of Cisco. And that would be interesting to have it there somehow. Voilà.
All right. Is there anything else the world should know?
I'm not sure. I think let's say that the one that would like the world to know, I already said it, that I want Matrix to take over Europe somehow, at least France. And I think for France, it's getting quite some traction. And the fact that we have quite a big deployment, because right now we are near the 300,000 active users. So it's quite big. And it means that, you know how it works. Huh? The more the people you have, the more you will get sooner, because when you want to chat with someone, you need a common platform. So
the network effect.
Thank you. That was what I was looking for. Yes, Lusenfrog effect, and it seems to be quite good right now.
Right, and we are not going to disclose the exact numbers, but you don't have a huge team and you are able to serve more than 300,000 people. So I would say that's pretty efficient. I wish you, Dinum, and the rest of the public sector in Europe all the success it deserves in terms of collaborating together. And I think that's it for this week.
Yes, I just want to say, because on regarding what you say, that we are also able to do that because Element is doing a lot of maintenance and on the core infrastructure of Matrix. So I just want to say that because right now it's a major player, and we would need a way bigger team if we have to deal with all the maintenance chips or the of the improvements that are running on the Matrix side.
Right, so you are benefiting from the work Element is doing because it's doing it in open source fashion, and you can use that. And I guess you have an interest in Element staying around.
Exactly. And we contribute when we can and what we can. But yeah, we have interest in that.
Right, thank you very much, Mathieu. Merci beaucoup, and I see you next week, Matrix Live.